Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. With the biggest stories of the day, it's the Big Three at Three. Number one.
Ron, the show, Hughley is out. 12-year NFL vet Wade Smith is in, ladies and gentlemen. And we got good news for number one here in the Big Three, man. Yordan Alvarez. Chandler Rome has tweeted, Yordan Alvarez hits on the field for the first time this spring. There's a video of him in a cage on the field taking BP. And I know it's very, very minimal work, but it's a good feeling to see the big fella back in action 14, 13 days before opening day for the Astros when they face the White Sox. And the White Sox come to town. I'd like for Yordan Alvarez to be on the field. I don't know if he can get there in 2 weeks, but it feels good to see him back in the cage and back in action, Smitty.
Yeah, you want to see him progressing and getting himself ready to go for that 162-game schedule that's coming up just shortly in a couple of weeks. And so him getting out there and swinging that bat and his hands feeling well, that's a good sign for him, good sign for the Astros.
I guess the thing now, we sit around and wait, right, to see if there's any kind of report about soreness again and or if there's any setbacks or anything like that. Knock on woods, cross your fingers. Not the woods. But cross your fingers and we hope that this just everything moves forward according to plan and he's back on the field in live action sooner rather than later.
Yeah, man. You gotta expect that he's gonna be fine. I'm not gonna worry about him, you know, getting hurt again or anything like that. He's just gonna naturally progress and get himself ready to go. As you call it, the ramp up period. I think that's an important part of getting yourself ready to go, and that's what you're seeing right now to Yordan.
Yordan's not the only one. By the way, real quick correction. Earlier I said March the 31st opening day. It's actually Thursday the 30th, so we're 13 days out. I don't know if that's enough for Yordan to get back. Not overly concerned about opening day, but I personally, as an Astros fan, opening day, I've been down there in the middle of the thick of it down there in Edo on opening day here. It's a hell of a time. It would be nice to have the big fella in the middle of the lineup on that particular day when the Astros are ready to reign and actually set off. Also today there was a game in spring training. Some of the guys are back from the World Baseball Classic. Jeremy Pena being the one that there you go, La Tormenta, the one that's in the news, man. And it's not for being a panty dropper either. Jeremy Pena, he goes off in his first game back for the Astros, Smitty. Two home runs and a single. He only got 8 at-bats in the World Baseball Classic, which that's interesting to me. I kind of almost one of those deals where I don't know why. I do know why you would do it, but it's almost if you're Jeremy Pena coming off the run you just had and you're going to damn World Baseball Classic, I ain't coming out of the lineup.
Yeah.
But nonetheless, he saved all his production for today. Spring training, 2 bombs. One of them was 444 feet. And a single. Jeremy Pena looked like he's picking up where he left off.
Yeah, man. You saw it last year with Pena. He started off hot, and then he kind of cooled off a little bit throughout the season. Got in the postseason and ends up being the MVP of the World Series. You got to expect that he's going to improve on at the plate what he did last year. And so that you understand the reason why they went on and moved on from Correa, and now you're going to reap the benefits of having a guy that is as good as Pena at such a young age getting paid pennies pretty much for the next 5-6 years. And so this is a good sign for the Astros that he's picking right off where he left off.
Yeah, there's another guy that I've had a close eye on, and we all as Astros fans obviously are leaning heavily into him since Lance McCullers is having some arm trouble of late. Hunter Brown, he started the game today. He went four innings, gave up one run, back-to-back solid outings for Hunter Brown for what it's worth. A little more detail about today's game. The Astros entered the ninth inning leading 7-3. They allowed eight runs, including four runs on, get this, Dusty Baker's son, Darren Baker.
Get him.
He hit a game-tying grand slam. The inning ended with Darren on deck. Dusty made one pitching change in that process. But anyway, again, who cares who wins what in spring training? I need to see Jose Abreu, Jeremy Pena. I need to see those guys out there absolutely raking. And it looks like between yesterday's game and today's game, Smitty, some young guys stepped up and some new faces are swinging it well. I mean, it's a good feeling to have. Like I said, yesterday, Jose Abreu was 3-for-4 with a home run and a double. It's good to see that as well. So Astros easing along through the spring training coming up on opening day.
Big 3-3, number 2.
Smitty, Tyler, I got a little announcement to make here, man. I'm going to be the honorary head coach for the East team, man, in the Bayou Bowl here in Houston, the All-Star High School All-Star Dude, game, man.
Okay. That's badass.
Honorary head coach. I don't know that I'm going to get to make any decisions, but I'm going to have
that just
going to
make
AC.
You a figurehead?
Oh, yeah, that's about right.
Oh, man, we're not doing no figurehead. Yeah. I need you to get out there and draw up some plays.
That's badass, dude.
I'm joining Carl Absek, the head coach over at Barbers Hill, and Spyro Amarantos, the head coach at Galena Park, and their staff. And so I may be able to shoot out a couple of texts, maybe visit a couple of practices week of and see if I can't get an old wrinkle in there.
Dude, that is legit really cool. My question for you, do they still play that game over at Stallworth in Baytown? Stallworth Stadium?
They've played it at multiple places.
Oh, okay.
They move it around now. I can't remember. Dick Olin, my old high school coach, this is one of his babies. He started up with some of his buddies a long time ago. It used to be the Texas-Louisiana game, and it got to where it was hard to keep their arms around operating in another state, if you will. And so
I didn't know it wasn't that anymore.
Yeah, it's just a greater Houston area All-Star game now. So you got the east side and the west side, and they come together. This year it's actually at Barbers Hill, so it's right in my backyard.
Oh, okay, cool.
I'm looking forward to it. I went out there. I've been to two or three of the games, played in the golf tournaments. Love being around all the coaches and the local, you know, athletes that do get a chance to play in it. Smitty, we talked about it yesterday, man. I played in the Shrine Bowl, Texas-California game.
Yeah.
It was one of the coolest moments of my career. I would imagine that these cats, you know, getting an opportunity to be quote unquote an all-star, all-state, you know, playing in this kind of game is big.
Yeah, man, when you're all-state, all-star game type of player in the state of Texas, that means you're one of the best players in the country, really, yeah. Because the best high school football is here in the great state of Texas. And so anytime you can make one of these teams, it's a big deal. You get to connect with guys that go to different schools that you might not have seen, you know, had a chance to interact with on a day-to-day basis. But now you're going to go to the Saucer again, connect there, and then you're going to see them later on in different colleges around the country and hopefully at the next level at the NFL. But this is a cool thing they're doing out there with the Bayou Bowl.
Yeah, man. A big part of it too, Smitty, is I mean, you know, some guys thought they played their last game.
Yeah.
You know, some guys played their last game, and if you were good enough and you produced enough, you know, there's a good chunk of this All-Star game, this will be their last game. So just another opportunity to play in front of mom and dad and grandma and grandpa. So I'm honored to be a part of it. I'm looking forward to it. I don't take it for granted. Don't take it lightly, man. I appreciate the opportunity, Coach Olin and your staff, and look forward to it, Coach Absek and Amarantos. I'm looking forward to it.
Big 3-3, number 3.
Little update, we got a big tournament going on. Probably should have led the big 3 with it, but I don't know. Between me and Yordan, I figured the tournament could take a third seat. We almost had another upset, right, Smitty, right, when we first sat down right here at 2 o'clock and started the show, man. Xavier was on the ropes, up one, versus Kennesaw State. Kennesaw State had the ball with 12 seconds left and missed a layup. Refs missed a couple of fouls. Xavier ended up winning that ball game 72-67. That was the first game out of the chutes today. But you also had USC losing to Michigan State. Baylor, then Baylor Bears, where y'all at, man? Stand up, John McClain. The Baylor Bears 74, UC Santa Barbara 56. And you got a handful of games going on right now. VCU 36, St. Mary's 41, Vermont 30, Marquette 39. And my deal here has to be, my scoreboard here has to be behind, because I think, say, Pittsburgh 22, 11 seed, folks.
They are putting it on them.
Come on, man. Pittsburgh, 8 minutes left in the first half, 22 to Iowa State, a 6 seed. They got 6 points. Smitty, I know you got Pittsburgh in that ballgame.
Yeah,
you're looking pretty good early, man.
I got Pittsburgh in my bracket. I'm feeling pretty good right now. I just need them to go ahead and continue doing what they're doing.
They are putting it.
Iowa State has the same amount of points as their seed right now. And so let's see if they can improve on that slightly. Just not.
Oh, they just got seven. They just got seven.
There you go. Boom. There you go.
Dude, I put a pretty substantial bet down on your Memphis squad tonight.
Did you?
Probably the biggest bet I've made so far in the tournament.
What's the line looking like on that thing?
I just did it and I've already forgot. I think it was minus. Let me look.
Look cloudy from last night.
Yeah,
huh,
yeah, no, foggy brain is for real today.
Look cloudy.
I mean, the two best players on Memphis team is from, they're both from Houston, Williams and Davis, and so you even though it's not, you know, the Memphis Tigers are not a Houston team or whatever, they got Houston all through.
Got an H-Town flavor.
No question about it. So that's the team that everybody got to support tonight.
Man. Minus one and a half, by the way. That's why I went big. I was like, 1.5. Let's go.
FAU's a good team, man. So don't get it twisted. They're a good team. But Memphis is playing the right kind of basketball at the right time of year. I'm excited to see what they're going to do this game and the next one against Purdue.
Hey, T, you hear me?
Yes, sir.
I need you to put me 100 on that on them Tigers.
Okay, sir. I'll lock it in.
Put me 100 on them Tigers.
Do I get a percentage of that since I hyped
you did
them
just
up
talk
to
me into it?
Do I get a cut of that? Like,
Tyler will pay 5%. You juice if I win.
I'll take it.
Let me
the opportunity.
Let me circle back on a couple of these games because I had to refresh my screen here. I gave you some bogus scores. VCU 51, St. Mary's 61. They're almost to half. Vermont 40, Marquette 50. Early in the second half, and then Pittsburgh 22, Iowa State 8, NC State 8, Creighton 11. So always got 3 or 4 games rocking and rolling. And fellas, I'm looking forward to this weekend. Smitty, I know I said this a little earlier. I don't know that I've been this excited about a college basketball game in a long time.
Jayhawks and going down.
That's right, Mom. Talk to them. Just keep it classy now. And my Hogs made a run the last 2 years, upset some teams, made Elite Eight runs.
Yeah.
You know, Musselman, the coach there, is doing an absolute killer job. So I've had some reason to get excited, but boy, the added bonus here of Boss Lady Sarah Frazier being a KU Jayhawk grad and Ron the Show Ugly being the president of the KU fan club and getting to see them on a daily basis, boy, I sure would like to have bragging rights for the next year if my Hogs can pull that one off Saturday.
Yeah, you want to have those bragging rights because if you lose the game, ooh, then you're going to have to hear it for the next year or so.
Oh,
And so, you know, it can make it a tough situation when you come to work. It's going to be interesting to see how things shake out and what things are like on March 20th, which is Monday. Happy birthday to my daughter, Leah.
Come on.
That day, y'all going to be at work and you're going to either be a very happy camper or you're going to be mad at the world because show's going to have something over your head. And that's one thing you don't want to have is have show have something over your head.
Yeah, ain't that the damn truth? I don't want show to have nothing over my head. That's for damn sure. But anybody out there, y'all want to root for them Hogs this weekend? We'll take it. I got Smitty on the Hog train, and I got T on the Hog train in there.
We'll see y'all Saturday.
Yeah, we'll see y'all. We'll see y'all Saturday, Ma. Tell them about it. All right, look, the Bears, the Chicago Bears. They traded out of that number one slot with the Carolina Panthers. They're now drafting number 9, but they're proof, man. I'm not crazy. This is what I wanted to see out of the Texans. I'm going to explain that next, and Smitty's probably going to have a little bit of pushback, but damn it, the Bears are doing what I hope the Texans would do. I'll tell you about that next.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron, the show, Hughley's out. Wade Smith, former Houston Texan Pro Bowl offensive lineman, is in.
Bro!
I don't know why, but I absolutely love that, Smitty. I absolutely love it. All right, look, we talked a little bit yesterday. Look, I think a lot of the conversations around the Houston Texans right now in free agency, I think a lot of people feel good because of the hires, the staff, D'Amico Ryans and the staff. I think a lot of people like to see the program just trending in the right direction and progressing in the right direction, signing guys that are legit NFL starters and aren't just kind of placeholders for an organization while it goes through a rough patch. And I think for the most part, it's pretty positive vibes around the Texans. But I'm gonna be honest with you, Smitty. I sit here and I'm ready, man. I'm tired of waiting. I'm tired of trusting a process. I mean, I know we're 2 years in with this with the Caserio regime, whatever that is.
Yeah.
But we're really 3 years in. Bill O'Brien was fired a month into the season 3 years ago. I mean, we're really 3 years into this thing, and I know every rebuild has its own entity, if you will, to steal a line from Nick Caserio, and there's no question about it. The Texans, when it happened, when all this stuff happened with the Easterby and the Deshaun Watson and all that, I said, look, this is a 4 or 5 year rebuild, and it's going to be ugly. It's going to be long and hard. It's going to be tough now. Now that we're right in the middle of it and we're at that where they appear to be turning the corner, I'm going to be honest with you, Smitty. I want them to turn the damn corner quicker. I want them to mash the gas, hug the corner, and take the inside lane, if you will, like them old buggies over here. And that. What is that over here? Them old buggies racing at the rodeo?
Oh, the wagons?
The wagons,
the,
yeah.
The wagon? By the way,
I went 2 for 2, beat my wife last time I was there.
We do that too. It's so fun. The covered wagons, that's what they are.
Covered wagon. Chuck wagon races, man. Chuck wagon races. Covered wagons.
Hey, man, you didn't know either.
It took me a minute, but I got it.
The trick is you just got to sound confident no matter what.
Well, right now I'm over there watching the Chuck wagon races, and the Bears, the wagon with a big bear on the side of it, Smitty, is in that inside lane, and them wooden wheels are hanging on, and they're trying to win this damn thing. What the Bears have done in the last 7 days is exactly what I hoped the Texans would do. And there's time. I don't think Nick's done. There's time. And there's part of what the Bears have done that I hope the Texans don't do. I don't want them to trade out of the number two spot, even though I think they could get a king's ransom if they did. I don't want them to trade out of the number two spot. But when I look down the list of free agents that the Bears have signed, or acquired in some way, shape, or form, right?
Yeah.
I'm not even going to talk about the 2024 first-round pick. I'm not going to talk about the 2023 second-round pick and the 2025 second-round pick that they got when they moved from 1 to 9 with Carolina, okay? I am going to talk about DJ Moore, though. Here's wide receiver DJ Moore.
Yeah.
Game changer.
Yeah.
Linebacker Tremaine Edmonds. Game changer.
Yeah.
Linebacker TJ. I didn't know they signed TJ Edwards, too. That's the kid that was at Philly, right? T.J. Edwards was at Philly, right? Check that out. T.J. Edwards is that backer that was a free agent that was at Philly. Offensive guard, Nate Davis. D. lineman, DeMarcus Walker. We know. See, T.J. Edwards was that linebacker. DeMarcus Walker, we know him. Running back, Travis Homer. Quarterback, P.J. Walker. D. tackle, Andrew Billings. I really love this one. Tight end, Robert Tonyan.
Yeah.
And running back, Dante Foreman.
Mm-hmm.
Is it Deontay or Dante? How does he pronounce that one?
It's Deontay.
Deontay. I've heard it two different ways. I guess it should probably go
just
with
how. Call him D Foreman, so that's why I'm not sure if it's Deontay or Dante, but I know just call him D Foreman.
I should probably go with whatever Landry says because hell, he knows him, but yeah. But I can't recall what that is. But Smitty, when I look at that right there, man, defensive minded head coach,
mm-hmm.
backers galore, couple of D linemen, that's a free agent acquisition, a free agent list, or. Let's just say a list of players you've added this offseason. That's awfully sexy right there, man. That's what I wanted to see the Texans do.
I think it's sexier at the top.
Fair.
A little bit sexier at the top, but I think if you went person for person with what the Texans have did, it's very, very similar. It's not far off when you look at bringing in a guy like Shaq Mason and bringing in Jimmy Ward and bringing in Robert Woods and, you know, if they can seal the deal with Denzel Perryman, that'd be another guy that you can yep. bring in there. I look at it like this. I'm a fan of what the Bears are doing, but then when I look at it, big picture, they're bringing in all these guys to surround a quarterback that I don't think is going to be better than the quarterback that the Houston Texans are going to select, whether it's Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. If I look at it and I say, okay, the Bears are going to be running with all these free agents that they're picking up and guys they're acquiring through trades, and this is great. But the guy they're surrounding is Justin Fields. And I look at the guy that the Texans are going to be brought in, and they're going to be surrounding either Bryce Young or C.J. Stroud. I feel like I'm good if I'm a Texans fan. I feel like we're in a good spot. And they're not spending the amount of monies to bring in these guys like the Bears are. I think if you have a Denzel Perryman, he's not going to get the same deal that Tremaine Edmonds going to get. And now Tremaine Edmonds is a quote-unquote better player, but I don't think there's that much difference in those two. And, you know, Perryman deal hasn't been done yet, but it's looking like that way. You know, they brought in DJ Moore. DJ Moore is a young, talented guy. That was a trade. And maybe bringing in a Shaq Mason isn't as sexy as bringing in a receiver, but Shaq Mason is tried and true. Shaq Mason, I think, if you compared guards in the league to wide receivers in the league, Shaq Mason is higher up on the list than I think DJ Moore is. And so, like I said, you go player to player, you go down the list, you know, Sheldon Rankins, Hassan Ridgeway, like, the Texans, I think, they're not far off from what the Bears are doing. I just think it's that Bears, the top-heavy picks and pickups of DJ Moore and Tremaine Edmonds makes you say, like, damn, they got him. And D Foreman, he's an underrated pickup because he's been damn good since he's left Houston. Yep. Like, he was damn good in Tennessee. He was damn good in Carolina. I think he's going to be damn good in Chicago. Robert Tonyan, that tight end pickup, I think that's a legit pickup for them. But, like I said, I don't think it's too far off, and I like the way that Caserio's been operating over the past few days. Picked up a guy or two that we weren't even thinking were on the radar, and then also knocked out and signed some of the ones that we were on the radar, and I think it's going to play well with the timeline of what's going on with the Houston Texans.
Smitty, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
No problem, Nick. Hey, Smitty, I'm going to lean into that promo that's running right now that I got out there. I think, to me, what really turns me on about this list, and you named the guys, I think when you look at DJ Moore, and you look at Robert Tonyan, and you look at Dante Foreman, the guys that are going to touch the football more often than not, that's a better list than what the Texans have signed in terms of offensive skill players at this point in time.
Yeah.
I just need one, Nick. I just need one out of Nick Wade. That's all I need. I need one guy that touches leather more often than the center you gave me back yesterday.
Noah Brown ain't doing it for you.
Noah Brown ain't doing it for me.
Robert Woods ain't doing it for me.
I like Robert Woods. I need another one. Robert Woods is one of my four. I need another one though. I need a tight end. I need another running back. I need a third down.
Boone
back.
Ain't doing it for you.
Nah, Boone ain't doing it for me. Okay. Boone ain't doing it for me. I really need a wide receiver. I really, you know, you mentioned the guy's name. We didn't really hit on. We hit on it now. A couple of days ago. The more I think about what you said, Smitty, the more I'm down with it, man. Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Bobby Slowick, it's obvious what he's doing. I want big body dudes that can block first and foremost, will get nasty and block and will not shy away from contact and First and foremost, that's the guys I'm going to get. If you won't do that, then you ain't going to play here.
Yes.
Okay? And I love that because I know what he's trying to get accomplished offensively. However, there is a desperate need on this team to maybe stray a little bit away from that and focus a little bit more on getting one guy that's explosive, that you can get creative touch. Maybe it's not the spend a bunch of money and a bunch of draft capital on the guy that you got to get great protection. You got to throw the ball 20 yards downfield in order to get an explosive play. But a guy that you can get creative with behind the line of scrimmage is great in the screen game, in the quick game, the RPO game, that's explosive. The more I think about you mentioning Mecole Hardman the other day, the more I like it.
Yeah, to me, that's the guy that's still on the market that fits checks all the boxes that you hear Bobby Slowick talking about and Miko Ryans talk about, you know, having explosive players that you get them out in space and you can throw them a check down and they can take it and go and get you a first down. On 3rd and 8, you could throw them a 3-yard pass and they can get you 12. That's the type of guys that you saw in San Francisco with the 49ers. And Mecole Hardman, he's a guy that, although he wasn't as productive as we probably all thought he would be when you're playing with Pat Mahomes and playing with the cast of characters that he had out there in Kansas City, I just like it, the traits that he has. You know what he can do. He can be that gadget guy that you can give on a jet sweep, that you can give he can beat you over the top. He has the ability to do it all. And so he's a guy out there. I'm not sure if he's even in the conversation over there at NRG for Mecole Hardman, but I hope he is, because I think he could help this team out tremendously.
I hope he is, man. You got to believe that there's several other teams out there that I've already seen a handful of them out there that are really, really interested in him. I hope the Texans are flying under the radar and are shooting that direction. Hey, Wade Smith has he's got some wise info. Advice is a better word for the Texans. He's got some wise advice for the Texans regarding a report from Adam Schefter yesterday. We'll bring that report full circle and get this advice out of Smitty, because I think it's really, really good. We're also gonna give away some tickets. Get your phone out. We got a 4-pack of tickets to the Final Four Fan Fest. We'll do all that next, right here on Sports Radio 610.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
The Drive is live, baby. Ron, the show, Hughley is out. Wade Smith is in. And before we get to this report that Adam Schefter put out, actually yesterday, we had it for you guys yesterday, but Smitty's had a night to sleep on it and think about it, and he's got some wise words for the old Texans over there. Before we get there, I know this isn't a big deal, but I'm gonna be honest with you. If you just said, "Hey, Clint, give me 3 players that you hope the Texans sign back, that were free agents,"
yeah,
this guy would have been on my list. Jordan Akins, veteran tight end, showed some promise last year. I liked him when he was here at the Texans the first time before he left and kind of bounced around. I think he went to New York and a couple other places. Anyway, he ended up back here. I thought he was one of a handful of bright spots. Damian Pierce, Jalen Petrie, and hell, I'd put him probably 3rd on the list in terms of bright spots. Can't forget about Laremy Tunsil and Titus Howard, two bookend tackles there. But really like Jordan Akins and hope that he would be a Houston Texan again. And I was looking forward, Smitty. I thought he was going to be a great fit in this Kyle Shanahan, Bobby Slowick offense. But it looks like they had other plans. Is it official, Tyler? He has signed.
It is official.
He has signed with the Cleveland Browns. You got to think that Deshaun Watson – tie there, those guys being familiar with each other, probably had a lot to do with it. And he's going to go on and be a Cleveland Brown. And that's 2 tight ends. Farrell Brown went up there as well. Cleveland Brown's taking the Texans tight ends. What the hell, man? What's going on?
Yeah, I tell you what, man, looking at the deal, it's a 2-year deal with a maximum value of $5.2 million. That tells me that the Texans were just
ready to move on.
They're ready to move on from Jordan Akins, because yeah, it's not like this is a gargantuan deal where you say to yourself, like, yeah, hey, they made him an offer he couldn't refuse or anything like that. Like, that's, I don't want to say it's peanuts, but that's a reasonable, you know, market value deal for a guy like Jordan Akins. So, apparently from their evaluation, they felt like Jordan Akins wasn't going to fit with what they were going to do. And so, Texans going to move on.
Yeah. It takes me to a place where it's pretty easy to get to. They feel like he and Brevin Jordan are two, not two in the same, because Brevin Jordan hadn't shown near enough for me to say that he can do what Jordan Akins can do. But from a build, the more athletic tight end that's more of a fullback, kind of a slot, you know, move tight end, hybrid tight end.
Yeah, little H-back action.
They got a cheaper guy in Brevin Jordan on a rookie deal and really probably a higher-end athlete if they do get them over the next couple of years. So not a huge deal. I personally was just a big fan of Jordan Akins and the style of play and being a veteran and what he did last year. But nonetheless, let's move on. There was a report yesterday that surfaced. It's Adam Schefter really just addressing the Panthers going from number 9 overall pick to number 1 with their trade with the Chicago Bears. The thought that C.J. Stroud was their guy that they had honed in on. You look at Vegas, I don't know what it is right now, but you look at Vegas a couple of days ago, the odds-on favorite to go number 1 overall was C.J. Stroud, which as a Texan fan, you're sitting here going, hell yeah, this is going to work out perfect because not all Texans fans. I know some of y'all liked other quarterbacks. I like Bryce Young. Had me feeling pretty good about it.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Schefter, yesterday, he had these words right here about that number 1 overall pick and what he expects the Panthers to do with it.
I think going into the process of evaluating the quarterbacks, I think that Bryce Young is the favorite to become the number 1 overall pick, and they will
really?
Go in with an open. Really? Let me say it this way. I think Bryce Young is to the Panthers what Mac Jones was to the 49ers when they traded up. They traded up with the idea that they really liked Mac Jones, and then they went through the process and wound up on Trey Lance. I think in this particular case, this team moved up with the idea that Bryce Young was a guy that they loved. They also really like C.J. Stroud. He's definitely got support within the organization. And we'll see what transpires during the course of evaluations. But I think the beginning of the process, it starts out with Bryce Young as the favorite.
He's bouncing all over the place a little bit there, but his point is Bryce Young being the number 1 overall prospect in his draft doesn't surprise – his point that he's making doesn't surprise me because I'm high on Bryce Young. The report, you know where I sit, Smitty. I don't know how others feel, but I don't put a whole lot of stock into these quote-unquote sourced reports.
Yeah.
Especially when the same guys throughout a 2-month span leading up to a draft, the same guys will have a sourced report – about 4 different quarterbacks and why they're number 1 or top 10 or yada, yada, yada. So, nonetheless, Bryce Young being talked about as the quarterback that Carolina's going to go after. I'm going to be honest with you, Smitty. This one makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because I think so highly of Bryce Young, and I think it's a no-brainer. Whoever has first dibs on a quarterback in this draft, I think Bryce Young is an absolute no-brainer. I think it's a huge mistake not to draft him. So I can see where they're at. But you think it may be a little bit of posturing, huh?
Definitely. I feel like Adam Schefter is doing some type of favor, doing a solid for somebody over in the Carolina Panthers front office, whether it's Frank Reich or Tepper himself. Some kind of way, this thing right here is a test for Nick Caserio and the Texans front office. Because there is a belief around circles that over the past couple of years, the Houston Texans could be had. They were a mark. And that was true. With Easterby in control and running things and Bill O'Brien, there was trades and things that were getting made that just didn't make any sense. But this is a test for Nick Caserio to let it be known that there's a new sheriff in town. He has full control over things, him and D'Amico Ryans. They can't fall for the banana in the tailpipe because this is what this is to me. There's no way in hell you can convince me that the Carolina Panthers traded all those assets to move up to number 1 to pick Bryce Young. And the reason I say that not is because Bryce Young doesn't deserve to be picked number 1 because I believe he's the best quarterback in the draft, but the fact that he's 5'10", the fact that Frank Wright has never had a quarterback that was shorter than 6'3", it just doesn't make any sense for you to give up that many assets to come up to number 1 to draft Bryce Young. And to me, this is an opportunity for the Carolina Panthers to try to hustle the Texans and get them to give up something, to move up to 1, to guarantee getting 1, because, quote-unquote, the Panthers are evaluating everybody, and they might like CJ, they might like Bryce. They're not, you know, they could go either way. Fine. If you guys are going to trade up all the way up to number one and you're going to draft Bryce Young, okay, Texans take C.J. Stroud and keep it moving. But if you trade up and you take that, you give up those assets to get a guy when I think everyone and a lot of people believe that they really traded up to get C.J. Stroud, that means you just got hustled out of your pick and you were going to be able to get Bryce Young anyway. Yeah. So do not fall for the banana in the tailpipe. Let's stand firm. I don't care how much smoke comes out as time goes, because leading up into this draft, I think there's going to be smoke coming from all different places to try to get something out of the Texans because they're in the number two spot. Don't fall for it. I think this is a test, and I think once you let it be known that you're not going to fall for the taste, and I love what I heard about out of James Linford today, and we'll talk about that a little bit later. He's talking about the fact that, hey, both quarterbacks, C.J. Stroud, Bryce Young, they both check the boxes. They're good dudes. They play the quarterback and they play the quarterback position the way that we want them to play it. Great. Now you're not tipping your hands. You're not being committal on either guy. But if you sit at two, you're gonna get the guy you want in Bryce Young.
Yeah, Smitty, I can get to your space real quick, man. I think, and I've said this before, I think this is such a fit draft. Like, it's hard for me to think that a team moves from 9 to 1. Now I know why you move from 9 to 1, because hell, there's liable to be probably gonna be three of them gone by the time you get to 9.
Yeah.
If we're being completely honest. So if you want a shot at any of the top three, and not the top three for me are Anthony Richardson, Bryce Young, and C.J. Stroud. If you want a shot at any of them, you got to move up. If you're gonna move up, you're gonna give away serious capital. You might as well move all the way to the top. And so you move to the top. It doesn't change the fact that when you look at these quarterbacks, they're all very, very different. I think with the exception, I'm just talking about style of play, like stylistically how they play the game. I think there's a way that you could compare Will Levis to Bryce Young in terms of the off platform, the kind of freestyle drop in the arm slot, and the effortless throws, you know, to the sideline and in the screen game and in the RPO game and the mid-range game. I think Bryce Young is far better, but I could see stylistically where you put those two together. I think when you're talking about those top three guys, it is all about fit, man. And I thought from day one, I thought from jump, it's very, very clear. If we could all just come together and the top three or four teams that needed a quarterback could get in a room and go, we're going to take the guy that best fits our program and our organization and what we do schematically on the offensive side of the football, this thing would be cut and dry.
Yeah.
And I say all that to say, I believe Carolina would be C.J. Stroud. To your point, Frank Reich is an old school guy that's always had the 6'3 or bigger guy. Look, I think Frank is a great offensive mind. I think he'll do some things.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Right. But Frank Reich is a guy that I think at the very least likes his quarterback to be able to do the pro style things at an elite level. Drop back on a dime, throw the whole route tree, the mid-range game, the 18-yard comeback, the dig route. And it's not that CJ can't do, I mean, it's not that Bryce can't do those things. It's that CJ can do them in his sleep and do it effortlessly and with more power than Bryce can do. So he's such a better fit for that system than Bryce Young would be. But again, if you think one of these guys has franchise quarterback makeup, then that's going to trump anything from a skill perspective, in my opinion. So we shall see. But wise words, Smitty. Texans, sit tight, baby. Don't let the smoke and mirrors get you. All right, we've got NFL Hall of Famer John McClain. NFL Hall of Famer John McClain, he's going to join us next. We'll talk a little bit about these Texans happenings right now and see if John's got any insight. John McClain, NFL Hall of Famer, next.
If I ask for 20 bucks, I've only got two.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.